Sockets of Silver. The sockets of silver were 100 in number. The boards had 2 tenons with which to grasp the silver base of atonement, Exodus 26:17 and 19, and Exodus 36:22 and 24. From Exodus 35:30-15, we learn that the silver came from the atonement money. See also Exodus 38:25-28. Each brought 1/2 shekel of silver for the atonement of his soul. Every last one came in on the same basis, from the richest to the poorest. Every last individual in the camp must meet the same requirement. There was no other way to come in. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, Acts 4:12. All must come under the blood and in the name of Jesus, one specific regulation. We should be simple enough in faith to do what God asks us to do. The ways of God are always simple and easy to follow. He says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light," Matthew 11:30. His ways are not grievous, but we make the way so hard. God has great wisdom, knowing human nature and all our need. He can anticipate. Birds and hop toads are obedient to the instincts he places within them. The regulations he puts within his word are not grievous. Confusion and distress in our hearts are due to unwillingness and a refusal to take God's simple way. We want to do it some other way, improve upon it, or else take away some of the characteristics. God told Moses to make the tabernacle according to the pattern. We are to believe in simple faith what God has told us. God is not a terrible monster trying to squeeze all the blood out of us and trample out our lives. He is a loving Father. We cannot testify that we love the Lord tremendously and then refuse to go His way. He does not want us in the darkness. We compel Him to allow us to remain in the shadow. He says, "I have called. My hand is upon you. I want to steady you through this trial in this dark place." He always makes a way so easy that everyone can meet the conditions, Romans 3:22. God provided them with silver to pay and then permitted them to think that they were paying Him something. Even Jesus, through whom we get back to God, is a gift from God. He gave Him to us to atone for us. Yield to Him. If we want God's way, He can do a work in our hearts to count for all eternity. He is able to do a tremendous work in our hearts and lives. We are face to face with God and reality. You cannot get into the spiritual things of God, into the Holy of Holies, without meeting the issues at the brazen altar and the brazen laver. The trouble with us is that we are trying to be spiritual without paying the price. He says, "This is the way, walk ye in it," Isaiah 30:21. Where He calls us or what He calls us to do is none of our business. That is His business. Our business is to cooperate, hook arms with the Holy Spirit, and walk along. He knows the weakness of our nature and understands it absolutely. The silver socket foundation is a type of Christ's atonement, and that is a basis for the building up and maintaining of His body, the church. 1 Corinthians 3:11, 2 Timothy 2:19, 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. Silver typifies atonement, and atonement spells blood. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent word. What more can He say than to you He hath said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled? Boards. There were 48 boards, 20 on the long side and 8 at the back. Read Exodus 26:15-25 and Exodus 36:20-30. They were made of acacia wood covered with gold. Each board had 2 tenons by which it was connected with the silver sockets underneath. The Hebrew word for tenons is hands. Each board had 2 hands with which it laid hold of the silver of atonement. The earth is insecure and offers nothing by which we may be firmly established. The board framework of the tabernacle is typical of 2 things. First, it is typical of Christ in the combination of human and divine natures in His blessed person, the manifestation of God in flesh, Philippians 2. As the tabernacle stands there, it represents the Lord in person making a substantial dwelling place for God. These boards represent the individual believers of whom the church is composed, Ephesians 2:22, 1 Peter 2:5. The individual believer with his hands of faith reaches out to the silver of atonement. The acacia boards represent the individual as a fit dwelling place for Jehovah. In the natural, these boards stood as perfect trees in the desert. They were rooted to the earth and derived their sustenance from the earth. They may have afforded shelter, shade, comfort, and blessing to man and beast. It was a perfectly commendable service with no condemnation. These trees were serving in the realm in which they belonged. But Jehovah needed this dwelling place, and his order is that the acacia trees should furnish the boards. Before the foundation of the world, acacia trees had been selected as the medium for the redemption of the world. He has chosen to redeem us, broken humanity. As he seeks to dwell in us, we must go through the process, stripping process of the trees. One day, the acacia tree felt the sharp blows of an axe. The acacia tree had to stand there and see all its beautiful limbs just lopped right off. It had been a blessing to humanity and to animals, but now it falls down with a crash into the desert dust. In the natural, one would think that the tree was rotten, else why cut it down? People would say that there is something wrong somewhere. Where is their testimony? Where is their usefulness that crowned them in days past? The real destiny of these trees was a glorious dwelling place for Jehovah. So we accept in faith and joyfully permit the limbs to be lopped off. The acacia tree had a fall. It was stripped. Adverse criticism followed. It is because we have refused to come God's way and be stripped that there is so much weakness in the great mystical body of Christ. Then the acacia tree was sawed into strips. Its whole life was open to inspection. Every part could be looked at. God has a perfect right to look at the motives of our hearts and to plane and sandpaper. Why is the sinner saved? God has not only brought the sinner to the gate, but his sins are put away. He is not saved to serve, but is saved as the initial step of a marvelous fellowship with a view to worship, which will in turn equip him to do real service. The sinner is brought to the place of salvation not to serve, but that he might penetrate into the recesses of the heart of God. Then and then only will he be qualified to serve. We are saved to become lovers and worshipers of God. Only as we measure up to this are we capable of serving. He brought us to the brazen altar that he might bring us into the tabernacle. God is calling for people who will become worshipers. Do not try to assume the role of a worshiper unless you have met the issues in the outer court. These silver sockets bespeak redemption. These hands on the boards grasp the silver sockets of atonement. We, the mystical boards of the tabernacle body, are joined together in one. The acacia tree had its roots in the earth, sustained and kept alive by the earth. There was nothing wicked about it. It was natural for the tree to grow. But this is not its ultimate destiny. More is to follow, but its connection with earth must be severed. This tree had been a comfort and a help to man and beast. This bespeaks philanthropic work. This may be perfectly applied to a Christian. Sometimes Christians walk in this sort of service, blessed of God too, for years, until finally God has to strip them of everything, ministry, call, effectual work, and bring them into some hard, crucifying place. The acacia tree was split open. This suggests the penetrating gaze of God's eye. It had to have its inner heart and life exposed. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Proverbs 4:23. Often God will put a very strong searchlight upon the Christian service. Often God may send by his Spirit a tremendous blow, and we just have to trust him, not knowing why. We may yield in our wills and our conduct and yet never be yielded in our spirit. We may be intellectually converted to the fact, but never yield in spirit. The tree must come down and be stripped. It cannot be taken in its entirety to build the tabernacle. After it was split, then came the polishing. After it had gone through this strenuous process and it was really beautiful to behold, the workmen hid that board completely under plates of glistening, shining gold. It was so that all glory might be of the Lord. Nothing was seen but Jesus, because he covered it with gold, did not destroy the acacia wood. It just merely worked through it. God does not destroy our personalities, nor is he seeking striking personalities. He is seeking those humble enough to be hidden in him and concealed. We are saved to become a spiritual house unto the Lord, Ephesians 2:21 and 22. We are stripped and planed, Job 19:10, Hebrews 12:11, Ephesians 2:10, 2 Corinthians 5:5, 1 Corinthians 3:9. We are covered with his righteousness, Ephesians 1:6, Colossians 2:10, Ephesians 2:2, Ezekiel 16, verses 6 through 15. He did not go out and select a rotten acacia tree, but one that stood for the very best. The bars. The boards were fastened together by bars of shittim wood overlaid with gold. The bars represent Christ, who by his strong arm holds every believer in his ordained place. The bars securing the boards pass through gold rings, Exodus 26:29. A ring is an endless thing and speaks of the endlessness of our God. He is eternal. The bars, five in number, speak of the grace of God. His grace is sufficient to enable all believers to move along the journey of life together. Reference from F. H. Benton. The tabernacle structure as it represents Christ. The tabernacle's structure represents Christ in that he is the dwelling place of God. He was the Word, the Logos. In him all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt, Colossians 2:9. Christ in the tabernacle is a manifestation of God. The four sides of the tabernacle as taken to stand for Christ clearly show us the characteristics of Christ as taught in the four faces of the cherubim, Ezekiel 1:10 and Revelation 4:7. The four divinely appointed gospel writers were particularly chosen to picture to us a particular place in the life of Jesus. The four pictures of Christ. 1. Matthew represents Jesus as a king under the type or face of a lion, Ezekiel 1:10. The genealogy of Jesus is that of a king. Bethlehem is the royal city where the king was born. The wise men sought the king. Herod tried to kill the king. Anointing of the king, Matthew 3. The king conquering Satan, Matthew 4. Principles of the kingdom laid down, Matthew 5 through 7. Final presentation of the king to the rulers and his rejection, Matthew 21. Matthew 3, 4, and 5 through 7 will fully prevail in the millennial kingdom. However, we are not to relegate it to that time only. Even now, we have a miniature millennium in our hearts. In the millennial kingdom, there will be a physical demonstration of it. We merely anticipate it now. 2. Another face of the cherub was like that of an ox. The gospel, according to Mark, represents Jesus as a servant. In this gospel, Jesus is always represented as going about doing good. Characteristic words are straightway and immediately. They are very becoming words when applied to a servant, one who does not question. There is no genealogy in this book, for no genealogy of servants is kept. He wants to represent Christ as the obedient servant, Isaiah 42, verse 1. In Luke's gospel, we get more of the human aspect of Jesus, the stories of the Good Samaritan, the prodigal son, and an account of the tears of Jesus. He was a perfectly normal, well-balanced human being. He became tired. He ate common food. When he worked in the shop, his hands became dirty. As he walked down the street, there was no golden halo over his head. One genealogy is given in Luke, and it traces him back to Adam. He is the Son of Man. 4. In John, the fourth gospel, Jesus is represented by the face of an eagle. We have his divinity told. No genealogy is given, for he is the Son of God and has none. He is without beginning. We do not find the temptation of Jesus in John. There is no transfiguration. He is divine. There is a constant revelation. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. John 1:14. There is no agony in the garden, and in the record of his crucifixion, the marks given are those speaking of his divine nature rather than of his human nature. There is no rent veil because he is a continual manifestation of God to man.